Hey y'all, it's Amber. This is somewhat an impromptu mini-sode. I want to share my new endeavor with you. I want to share with you that I've been writing again. But first, I'm going to tell you real quick that we are having a 50% off sale. Mythic Medicinals herbal oils. Most of them are already sold out, but as of this recording, there's two or three left, including St. John's wort oil. 50% off. You don't need a coupon code. This is May of 2024 that I'm recording this. We do a sale every spring as we make room for the New Year's batch of oils. These oils from last year that are half off will have a pretty stable shelf life still, though, because of our preservation techniques. So I will put the link in the show notes along with the link for my new Substack called Nourishing Mother Lines. I thought I would just put out this episode to let you know about it and to read my first three, they're pretty short, pieces of writing there. There's a lot I want to say to give you an introduction, but I think pretty much everything is in these first pieces of writing. So, you know what? Actually, let me read you the about page. I think the about page of my new Substack, Nourishing Mother Lines, kind of nails it. Although, okay, now I can't find it. See, I'm still too new to Substack. Okay, here it is. This is what it says when you land on the page. Bone, blood, milk, and marrow. Exploring the mineral matrix from which we are born, the matrilineal mitochondria we inherit, and what it means in an age of rampant metabolic dysfunction. Memories of my mother and hopes for my daughters and all women. That's not actually the about page, though. Nourishing Mother Lines is a collection of memoir-adjacent personal writings exploring my evolving understanding of nourishment, not nutrients, how my mitochondria and minerals were inherited from my mother line and yours from yours, my healing journey as I navigate hypothyroid and hypoadrenal exhaustion and a host of related symptoms. What I am focusing on as I prepare to help my daughters with seemingly inevitable future health issues as women alive in the 21st century, and your garden variety midlife self-concept implosion. I'm not a medical expert in any way, and I'm not here to make recommendations. I have less than no interest in making definitive statements, and I'm writing just to digest my life and to share what comes up. So the first piece is called Nourishing Mother Lines, Nourished Mother. The spiral goes ever on. Last night was yet another sleepless one. Of the many symptoms I've experienced on my long, slow recovery from the same deep burnout, mineral depletion, and metabolic unwellness that plague so many of the women in my generation, born in 1981, the constant night waking is my least favorite. But lately, I've seen the small gift in it. It's alone time, which this introverted mother sorely misses. If I am going to spend hours awake on most nights, I might as well drop the "what is wrong with me" fretting and embrace the glorious solitude. I have been quiet online for a long time now, longer than any other fallow period since I began blogging in 2008 when my oldest daughter was two. That blog was called Nourished Mother, and was focused on birth, herbalism, and my journey away from the veganism that had left me depleted and undernourished and toward traditional foods. There, I shared my evolving understanding of what nourishment meant now that I had brought a daughter into the world. That I sit here 16 years later to write about the same thing on what is basically this decade's new and improved blogging platform feels bittersweet. And there are pretty pictures and images if you want to click the link below and actually check out the Substack. Sweet because I absolutely love thinking, learning, and talking about true nourishment and the mineral inheritance handed down to us over eons from the heart of exploding stars through the bodies of our grandmothers and mothers. Bitter because in the intervening years, I became lost in a culture of information overwhelm and the idea that I could achieve optimum health. And now find myself once again depleted and exhausted, feeling my way toward genuine connection with my body and a deeper, slower understanding of nourishment. This Substack has been percolating for a long time, and last night's wakefulness provided the space to start dreaming up the name. I did consider resurrecting Nourished Mother, but it didn't feel right. One of the biggest things that 43-year-old me has learned that 27-year-old me hadn't yet is that my life, my understanding of things, and my state of well-being are always changing. Back then, I thought I had reached some pinnacle of health and of understanding, and my posts were of the, you should do this. This works for me, so obviously it will work for you. This is the right way to think, behave, feed yourself, variety. Now I know that everything is different for everyone and that things are in constant flux for each individual as well. I no longer want to preach. I am not all that nourished, truthfully, but I'm getting there. I want to share stories, my personal medicine stories, so that others may take what resonates and perhaps find solace or inspiration in it. Stories nourish me. Stories nourish human beings. I have learned that, as I walk the road to recovery and ever-deepening self-attunement, I have to balance logical-minded learning about health and nutrition with mythic-minded immersion in story. Fantasy or memoir, novel or biography, book, show, podcast, film, any narrative I can lose and find myself in. Over the course of a day or a week, I will go from reading an in-depth article on thyroid by Kaya of Fundamental Nourishment to listening to the incredible Andy Serkis narrate Lord of the Rings, to tuning into a podcast about how stress impacts mineral status, to reading books by depth psychologists such as Marion Woodman. And those are all linked if you want to go read the article as well. This is in contrast to decades of almost always living solely in my rational mind, driven to take in as much information as possible so that I could be as healthy as possible, forsaking the imaginal realm and the inner exploration that I'd always loved. As you already know, this instead had a catastrophic effect on my health. I thought up dozens of possible names in the darkness last night and wrote down the best ones in my journal this morning, but none seemed right. Then I opened Substack to finish the setup process I had started weeks ago, and when prompted to type in the name of this publication, my hands / subconscious / grandmothers gave me Nourishing Mother Lines. Nourishing Mother Lines, Nourished Mother. Nourished is static and perhaps unprovable. Nourishing is an ever-evolving state, a mysterious destination that I will always be dancing toward. A mother is a singular person in the vastness of space-time, but a mother line spans eons and can be conceptually extended as far back as the explosion of the supernovas that sent their minerals flying toward our solar system and, eventually, into our cells, and as far forward as we can hope the descendants of humanity will remain. The heart of this endeavor will be looking at the state of metabolic unwellness that so many women find themselves in today, from both the story brain and the logical brain, and how this phenomenon is connected to both our ancestors and our descendants, and really all of life. How can we do better for our daughters? What healing can we find for ourselves and our foremothers? What does nourishment even mean? For now, perhaps you will enjoy episode 1 of the Medicine Stories podcast, The Mineral Matrix and the Mother Line That Made You, with Hamid Jabbar, The Matriarch Substack by Clara Wisner, and the above picture of my maternal grandmother, my mother, both have passed and are back in their elemental forms now, myself and my firstborn daughter on the day she joined us. The story of her birth was the very first piece of writing I ever put online a couple of months after it happened in 2006. A couple years after that, it was my first ever blog post in 2008, and it now lives on my website, Mythic Medicine, with a link to that birth story, of course. I love when things come full circle like this. I'm writing again about the same old things, spiraled back to where I've always been, with a deeper understanding of these topics, but also an unfolding realization of just how much will always remain unknown to me. More to come. Thank you, Amber. P.S. I believe that I have put together a huge piece of my insomnia puzzle in just the last couple days and will be sharing that soon, as it is related to everything I've written and will continue to write here about nourishment. I'll tell you here, because I haven't written about that yet, that the huge thing I figured out there was that I had not been eating enough calories every day, probably for my entire adult life. I was really not stoked on the idea of counting calories, but I did last month and was very surprised. I was positive that I was eating enough, and I was not. I was eating about 1700 calories a day. So once I bumped that up to at least 2000, I've been sleeping better. I have a lot more thoughts on that, on eating enough, which is what I meant in this piece when I said I'm not all that nourished, really. I was realizing that I have not eaten enough, probably since I was a teenager, actually. The next piece is called What About the Father Line? On Metabolic Inheritance and Why I Focus on Women. Let's start by acknowledging that the pure mother line, mother's 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 mother, etc., and the pure father line, father's 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 father, etc., make up a teeny tiny percentage of the almost endless overlapping lineages that led to you. You also have a father's mother's mother's father's mother's father's father's mother's, etc., 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 lineage, and so on, using every combination you can dream up back into the mists of time. And many of these ancestors start to overlap as you go further back. Otherwise, there'd be more people in the past than there are now, but they're not. There were less. The mother and father lines tend to get more attention because A, they're conceptually easy to understand, and B, they each play an important and unique role in the inheritance of our DNA. Females have XX chromosomes and males XY. The Y chromosome is inherited from the father, who inherited his from his father, and so on. This is why testing the Y chromosome can tell a man about his ancient paternal DNA. Women cannot test for this, as we don't have a Y chromosome. I had both my father and my mother's brother test theirs to give me an idea of where both of those father lines, which also led to me, even though I have no Y DNA, came from. Both women and men inherit 100% of their mitochondrial DNA from their mothers, and both can have their mtDNA, mitochondrial DNA, tested to find the ancient origins of the mother line. Here is a gushing post I wrote back in 2012 when I first got my mtDNA results. Link. These tests differ from the more commonly used autosomal DNA testing, which gives a very rough and ever-updating percentage breakdown of where your people, going back about 10 generations, hail from. Here is an article further explaining the three types of DNA testing. There are two reasons that I am primarily interested in the mother line. One is from a practical, scientific, health-related perspective. This Substack will focus on metabolic well-being and the mitochondria, which we all inherit only from our mother line, has a profound influence on our metabolism. The other is that I am a daughter of a mother and the mother of daughters. I have many stories to share about my mom's relationship to food and her body and how that has affected me, about how her life and mothering choices during pregnancy and postpartum affected me, and about what I wish for my daughter's metabolic well-being as they grow up in the same food-distorted culture that my mother and I also grew up in. Same but different, as dietary trends and dogma constantly shift, but the underlying misunderstanding of true metabolic wellness remains. 99% of my audience is women, and the few men tend to be soulful, thoughtful sweethearts like my husband, Owen. Some of these men have respectfully expressed to me that they feel left out by my writings and women-centered health focus. I get this, and I can do nothing different and still be true to what calls me. If I'm interested in mitochondrial health, then I'm interested in the mother line. And, though much of my writing here will be specific to the female body, the mitochondrial mother line musings will be relevant to men as well, since we all get our mitochondrial DNA from our mothers. I was very close to my mom and to her mom and to my paternal grandmother, and I knew both of my paternal great-grandmothers as well. I have birthed two daughters. In a way, my focus has always been on women. Female energy has always nurtured and sustained me. And the anchor of my mother line, especially as it extends forward now through my daughters, will always be the point of gravity around which my life centers. I hear that these men are yearning for writings and work similar to mine but focused on the masculine, including both ancestral connection and men's metabolic wellness. If anyone who has read this far has suggestions, please share in the comments. I loved my dad and my grandfathers, and a great-grandfather a whole lot too. I adore my husband. I want men and boys to be well, but we are all made of the same ancient elements, We are all made of the same ancient elements and all occupy these human bodies for a brief time. We are truly in this together. And then the most recent one that got a lot of comments is called "The next piece of information will be the one to save me. How optimizing my health ruined my health." My mom was your typical 80s, 90s American woman, jumping from Weight Watchers to Jenny Craig and back again, always buying new workout VHSs and stocking the pantry full of low-fat and fat-free, healthy processed food. And then there's the most amazing picture of my mom, you guys, like early 90s. I'm pretty sure I know which friend's house this is at. It's not at my house, but it has like that super 90s goose decor in the background. There's a framed picture of geese. And she's eating Ben and Jerry's ice cream out of a pint and has her mouth open in a funny way. Like, you know, she knows the photo is being taken. And oh, I so remember the earrings she's wearing and her new cute early 90s short mom haircut. She also worked nights dealing blackjack and roulette at Harrah's Lake Tahoe and was herself raised on processed food by a single working mother. Because of these things, I grew up in a house with zero culinary culture, where I almost never witnessed food preparation, and where almost everything I ever ate was highly processed and lacking nourishment. Cereal for breakfast, whatever horror was being served for hot lunch at school, Top Ramen after school, and for dinner, either a processed, low-fat, frozen meal, or pizza or fast food if my dad was up for an outing, or perhaps he'd fix the one dish he ever prepared for me and my sister. Eggs scrambled in a bowl, then topped with Velveeta cheese and microwaved. My mom was also the most loving and wonderful person who ever lived, and I live my life and mother my daughters in honor of her memory. If she were here, she'd be walking this path of discovering nourishment with me, and every post is a communication to her just as much as it is to you. My interest in health started young and was an unintended side effect of my mom's own desire for health and the food fear instilled by the culture of her time. When I was 17, around the time I was first diagnosed hypothyroid, she brought home the book Total Health Makeover by actress Mary Lou Henner, and I, never one to let printed material sitting on the table go unread, devoured it. I had been vegetarian since age 12, not for my health or even for the animals, but because I hated the texture and the taste of meat. I now see this as a symptom of nutrient deficiency on top of and due to the lack of cooking in the home. But I became vegan after reading this book. I loved the idea that I could achieve optimum health through lifestyle, mostly dietary, choices. That belief stayed with me for decades, and since then I've read countless books and blog posts, listened to endless podcasts, etc., constantly making small tweaks to what I ate to further optimize my health. I remained vegan through my first pregnancy, birth, and postpartum at age 25. I nursed my daughter for 2.5 years. She was deliciously chubby and vibrant and beautiful, and I was an emaciated, anemic, undernourished mess. And I have a picture of me pregnant with her, and a picture of her falling asleep on my lap after nursing, and she is so big, and I am so much smaller than I am now. Mother Nature, in her fierce wisdom, had ensured that my baby was as nourished as possible, and my already low nutrient reserves were swiftly exhausted. At this time, I undertook an herbal apprenticeship with Cami McBride. At one of our first classes, she pulled up a chair next to me on our lunch break, looked me in the eye, and said, "You're vegan, aren't you?" When I said yes, she lovingly said, "I can tell by looking at you," and went on to explain how I was undernourishing myself by eschewing animal products as a childbearing woman. Her words poured into me like warm honey, which, not being a totally insane person, I was still consuming. I had known that something was wrong, but had not guessed that my super healthy and morally superior vegan diet could be the problem. It was optimal. But each word she spoke rang like truth throughout my being. She asked me if I'd eat sardines if she went into the house and got me some, then and there, and I said yes. And I did, and something inside of me woke up again. This is when I first started to think about what nourishment really means. Spoiler, still figuring that out. writing this Substack to help me figure that out. Here, I will check my tendency to ramble on for paragraphs and instead sloppily list out the things I cycled through during the following 15 plus years that are relevant to my health now. Separation, broke and hustling single motherhood, my mom's sudden and devastating death, getting unexpectedly pregnant a couple weeks after her accident and having a second daughter with my now husband, Owen, born 10 years after the first, plowing through exhaustion during my second pregnancy to barely, both financially and time-wise, buy us a small home, the explosive growth of our herbal business during my youngest's first couple years of life, starting a podcast, and trying to address the baby weight and the exhaustion I was ignoring by turning once again to gurus and experts who promised to help me optimize my health. From years 2 to 5 of my second postpartum, I rotated through paleo, keto, low carb, intermittent fasting, and long-term fasting, a practice I had first dabbled in my early 20s and did not use to restrict calories, but rather because I truly believed I was giving my body a break and a reset that would boost my well-being. I was optimizing. The piece of health information that was going to save me was always just around the corner, in the next book read or podcast episode listened to. I was always just a few tweaks away from optimal health, except that, over time, the opposite happened. By my early 40s, this approach to health had backfired big time. I had tried so hard to do everything right, truly wanting to nourish myself and support my health so that I could show up for my family and my business, and instead I had decimated my metabolism / body's ability to make energy by limiting a rotating cast of foods, fasting, and also unconsciously under-eating, again, being positive I was eating 2,000 calories a day while I absolutely wasn't, and living in a state of constant doing. Stress, undernourishment, and a lack of self-attunement had depleted me at the cellular level, not to mention loss. I really want to be writing more on this Substack about how loss affects women metabolically. Just before my 42nd birthday, I collapsed in utter exhaustion and completely lost my vitality. If you're interested in understanding the mineral and metabolic roots of energy and fatigue, please read this incredible booklet from the 80s, linked. Oh, how I wish my mom had somehow stumbled upon it then and followed this advice instead. I really think about this a lot, that if my mom had somehow found this booklet, this newsletter, physical newsletter that was sent out in the 80s to subscribers of this list, it could have made such a big difference in our lives. I think she would have loved it as much as I love it. And you should definitely, I'll link to it below, actually. I remember my teenage daughter, yes, the baby in the photo above, who is now almost 18, coming into my room as I lay crying on the floor 2 winters ago. "Are you okay, Mom? What is going on lately? I've never seen you like this." For the first time in my life, I answered, "I am not okay," but I had no idea why. I was thinking, I wanted to clarify after I published this, but I never did, that of course I have felt not okay before, but I have never admitted it. I would always like, or I could rationalize, like, I'm not okay, but I'm okay. You know, like I'm okay. Like I'll get through this. And this was the first time that I was like, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know what's happening. And no, I'm not okay. About a month later, I hosted Nisia Nelson on episode 100 of this podcast, Returning the Mother to Herself. Our nourishment shapes how we receive life, and realized that I had deep repair work to do. It took me 100 episodes, which had increasingly been focused on food and optimizing health, to realize that I had been going about it all wrong. I began working with Nisia and started doing regular hair tissue mineral analysis, HTMA, and blood work labs, more on that below, and have been amazed by how they accurately reflect my felt sense of energy every single time. I also began an inner psychological healing process to accompany the more scientific and behavior-changing approach. I began caring more about nourishment than nutrients. Decades of listening to everyone but myself had had profound consequences, and I had lost the plot. I had, rather, lost myself. Today, I am constantly walking that fine line between learning from others about what ails me and what might help, And learning to discern and oftentimes tune out knowing that isn't my own. My approach to food these days is generally in line with the bioenergetic understanding of cellular health and energy, also called prometabolic. This article, linked, is both an excellent introduction to this approach and a takedown of how it is commonly misunderstood and misapplied, which I certainly did when I first found prometabolic. My biggest takeaway from it, supported by my own experience and walking with many other women on this path, is that it all comes down to bioindividuality. I endeavor to support my cellular metabolism, the basis of health and well-being, by figuring out which foods work for me at this moment in time, noting the irony that had I not restricted so many foods over the years, I would probably have less food reactivity now, making sure I'm consuming enough calories every day, and slowly working to heal my most problematic low energy symptoms, gallstones, frequent night waking, and weight gain still beleaguer me. While the utter exhaustion of the last couple years and constant pain I was in for 25 years have mostly resolved as I've remineralized my body. I'm going to interject here that, the night waking has gotten better since I wrote this. Still, I'm not sleeping through the night yet, but I'm not waking up every 2 hours either, which I had been doing. Have not lost an ounce of weight, and that's not my focus. I would love for it to happen in time. I gained about 40 pounds in the year I lost my energy while not making any lifestyle changes, but, you know, just my metabolism crashed. My energy producing capabilities through the thyroid and the adrenals became so depleted when I burned through all my minerals, living in such stress for so many years and in the aftermath of my mom's death. The gallstones, I had a huge gallbladder attack at Christmas time and finally realized what it was. Finally realized the right side pain that has plagued me for 15 or so years. And so that has gotten a lot better, although I did go into the emergency room just 2.5 weeks ago for it. I woke up in so much pain one morning and I was like, that's it. I actually didn't even have a gallstone diagnosis yet. I'd been trying to find a primary care physician so that I could get imaging done, but I literally don't know how to do that. It's taken, how does one find a primary care physician to help? There's just like none in my area that are taking new patients. So I went into the ER just to get the imaging done, and I did. I had an ultrasound, and there are gallstones, which is what I thought. I was afraid that morning because the pain was so bad that I might be in like an emergency situation of, okay, like you can just remove my gallbladder, which of course is not what I actually want. But I was so scared because I was in so much pain that day. It's like, maybe this is just where I am at. But I actually felt fine later that day. I got body work and have really been realizing how important it is to release the fascia around the gallbladder when one has dyskinesia or stones. And I've been feeling really good since then. And so my constant right side pain has been better since I've been working on my gallbladder health and since I've remineralized and especially getting my calcium up. I now can look back and realize that I was very low on calcium, at least starting in my teenage years, if not before. And between that and the gallstones is why I've been in this incredible right side pain for so many years that I just plowed through. Those are doing better. The weight gain is probably still the thing that's bothering me the most. And my energy is getting so much better. I've had to just completely change how I use my energy, which is a whole conversation itself and wasn't even something I was aware I could do until about a year ago. Which is my next paragraph. I also had to radically change how I was spending my time in order to repattern my stress response. I restructured my life in order to heal, or rather to move toward healing. I pushed through stress and my body's signals to slow down for so many years. I always say I was living on caffeine and cortisol, that my body finally forced me to stop. I spent late winter, spring, and early summer of 2023 in bed. My husband, who already had a full plate, had to step up when it came to our children, household duties, and our business. The mom guilt consumed me, especially when I got my youngest daughter's HTMA, hair tissue mineral analysis results, and saw the mineral inheritance that I had passed down to her. But that's for another post. And that is actually going to be the subject of the next podcast here. I'm interviewing Nisia Nelson again soon, and we are going to talk about children and minerals and the connection between mothers and their children and minerals. I was in the darkest corner of a cave, barely any life emitting from me. I had no hope, no joy. Trusting that I could be well again was a stretch, but I'd seen other women do it, and I had my family who love me and need me. And then I put a picture of a hibernating bear. Every marker on my first thyroid labs showed an underfunctioning thyroid with very high levels of reverse T3, which is what slows bears down and forces them into hibernation. In other words, nature's way of telling a body to go into that cave and rest. If someone had told me a few years ago to slow down or else pay the metabolic price, I would have brushed them off. Okay, buddy, how about you live my life for a week and then tell me it's possible to slow down? Now, when I look back on the first HTMA I ever did, about 6 months before my crash, I clearly see that I was in what is called the alarm stage of stress, where the body is trying desperately to keep producing energy despite plummeting mineral reserves. It's literally burning through the minerals in order to keep you going, to keep the adrenals and thyroid functioning until you've burned through your mineral reserves and then you crash, which is what happened to me. This hypothyroid state has been reflected on numerous follow-up HTMA tests that I've taken over the last year. I am in a four lows pattern with the four most important energy-producing minerals, calcium, magnesium, sodium, and potassium, well below the levels needed for healthy cellular functioning. These electrolytic minerals are vital for both the thyroid and the adrenals, the body's main energy-producing organs, to function. This is why an HTMA can so accurately assess a person's energy. There is no end to the list of health problems that a low metabolic state can cause. Likewise, a person with robust metabolic health is unlikely to experience many health problems. And excuse me. And metabolic unwellness is rapidly increasing in the population. As our soils and food become ever more depleted of nutrients, we are exposed to a tsunami of toxins that overburden our depleted bodies. Chronic illness and autoimmune disorders skyrocket, even among children. I mean, because those are, metabolic unwellness at their foundation. And the stress of modern living continues to wreak havoc on our nervous systems. This is why I am sharing my thoughts and my very personal, tediously boring story here. Because so many of us, mostly women, are experiencing something similar. Because it's so hard to find the balance between learning from genuine experts who can help us and falling under the sway of inept influencers who can harm us. I see you, Dave Asprey. And because this metabolic unraveling is happening to younger and younger people. No matter what I do for my children, how I feed them, or what values I instill, while they're still at home, the culture is an overwhelming force, and the culture is deeply unwell. May this space create small ripples in the culture that just may, someday, help to change our species' metabolic future for the better, and if not that lofty goal, at least help more women and mothers feel less alone in their struggle to regain metabolic wellness in a world that seems intent on undermining it. I am finding my way back to wellness again, but I will never be who I was. We don't heal backward into who we were before we fell ill. We heal forward into someone new. And I aim to heal not just for myself, but for my mother and my daughters as well. And then I wrote, I would love to hear from anyone who read this far. What was the food culture in your home growing up? Did you absorb the food beliefs or behaviors of your caregivers? And what is your definition of nourishment? There are 80 comments, although a lot of them are me replying to people. But super interesting. I absolutely love the conversation that this piece generated, and just that this conversation around women's health and metabolic wellness generates. I've talked about it a few times in the last 10 or so episodes, including the most recent one, episode 110. And it just resonates with so many people because so many people are going through it. Thank you. Thank you for listening. If you're still here, I will put the link to subscribe to the Substack below. as well as the link to that energy book from the 80s, as well as the link to our medicines, mythicmedicine.love, which are currently herbal oils are half off until they sell out, and then they will be normal price again until next spring. All right. Thank you.